Good morning, good morning. Hope everybody's starting to get used to this new YouTube setup. And if not, if you know somebody is having trouble, let me know. Try to get with them personally and give them a hand figuring things out. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I'll praise you and thank you so much for today and for all of the blessings that you give us every day, Lord. And we thank you for your word and help us to understand what you're teaching us today. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about lawyers. That's an interesting topic, huh? This is a special kind of lawyer. Basically, lawyers in the, I'll have a definition here in a minute. Lawyers in this particular are more ceremonial. They're good at Mosaic law, which is the law of Moses. They are good at the Mosaic law. And they also can represent what we've known as the scribes in the later in the New Testament, and known as scribes. So Jesus talks to some lawyers in this next part. That's what we're going to cover today. So got our same picture up. I don't think there's anything after this picture. I think this is pretty much the one we're dealing with. Until the end of the chapter. So let's start right off, and we're in verse 45. We're going to cover all the way to 54 today. And again, I forgot to get my little pointer. Let me get my pointer real quick. Okay, I got my pointer. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thou saying thou reproachest us also? So Jesus has some interesting words for them also. Now let's just talk about lawyers. In the Greek, it's called nomikos, and it basically stands for according to or pertaining to law. That is legal, ceremonial as a noun, an expert in Mosaic law about the law, a lawyer. Occurs also in, I'm going to show you the different places it occurs. In the last instance in Titus, the lawyer there represents a scribe. So let's just look at some of the places we see lawyer, give us an idea of what they are. In Luke 7:30, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. In Luke 10:25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus responding back to him and said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now, the lawyer was trying to test him in that case. In a few of these cases, they're trying to catch him, Jesus, going against the law. Because remember, Jesus always claimed that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. Okay, Luke 14, 3 through 6. And Jesus answering spoke unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answering them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass and an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Jesus in this thing was trying to turn it back on them. They were trying to quick to ac accuse of doing certain things on the Sabbath day. This last one, Titus 3:13, is what I was talking about. In this particular case, the word lawyer here means a scribe. Brings Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be waiting unto them. So those are all the places besides here in Luke that they mention lawyers. Okay, back to Luke 11:46. And he said, "Woe unto you also, you lawyers, for you lay men with burdens grievous to be borne, yet yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." So basically, Jesus is accusing them that they tell the people that they have to abide by certain laws, but they don't even follow those laws. And that's what the big point that Jesus is trying to make here. And we got some verses that respond about this over in Isaiah 10:1. "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievously which they have prescribed." Over in Matthew 23:2-4. "Saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So again, they're putting all these heavy burdens and all these rules, but it's things that they don't necessarily follow themselves. So they're being hypocrites. Also in Galatians 6:13, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." So like what I basically I'm saying here is what some kids will say their parents do. Basically, do as I say, not as I do. And that was the general philosophy of the Pharisees and the lawyers. Is that, so that's the problem that Jesus is pointing out here. And a lot of these rules are not biblical. There are rules that are made up, exaggerations of things that's said in the Bible about like the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And you weren't supposed to do certain, you're supposed to rest on the Sabbath and rest from all your labors. Well, they took that and went crazy with it. You know, basically you could not lift your arm up to your chest. There were so many rules about what you could do, could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. These are some of the things that Jesus is pointing out. Okay, Luke 11:47. "Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them." And talking about being killed over in Acts 7:52. And this is a story I'm going to dive into here in a few minutes. But it's about Stephen. And here in 7:52, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers." This is that sermon that Stephen gave to the Pharisees in the temple. He ended up getting stoned for it, as we're going to see here in a minute. But he's basically accusing them of killing their Messiah, which they didn't do. Back to Luke 11:48. "Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build them sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them a prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute." This is Jesus talking. So jumping into John 16:2-4 helps us to see the point here. "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh." This is Jesus talking to the disciples. "The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I say not unto you at the beginning because I was with you." So it was Jesus was protecting them then, but now he's going to be leaving. And so that protection is going to, basically the honeymoon is over for now, and that the apostles are going to be persecuted pretty heavily. All of them died martyrs except for John. And back to that story about Stephen, this is a perfect example of what happened when he was proclaiming Jesus to be the Messiah. We're in Acts 7:57-60. "Then they cried out with it," and this is also talking about what John was talking about there, what Jesus was, "that there'll be some of you that will actually kill you." And that was Saul of Tarsus before he understood better. But back to Acts 7:57. "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul was basically standing there letting it happen. Then they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. This is Stephen speaking, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In this case, whenever you see fall asleep, it's usually talking about a Christian, and that's exactly what we're doing. Our bodies are going into the grave to die, but we're going to heaven to be with the Lord. And so basically our bodies are asleep to wait for resurrection day. Okay, back to Luke 11:50. Then the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the, this is Jesus speaking again, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. So let's talk about what he's talking about there, the blood of Abel. We know that happened back in Genesis, where Cain killed his brother Abel. Unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar. And that happened over in 2 Chronicles 24. I thought I'd show you that, 20 through 22. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he have also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. This is another example of a stoning of someone who is telling them that they were, this is basically a prophet, and the fact that Jesus comments about the prophets being killed for speaking about what the God told them to say. And last, in verse 22, then Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son, and when he died, he said, the Lord looked upon it and required it. And that wasn't true. Didn't require it. Also in Matthew 23, it's another great example. This is Jesus talking. This is as he was walking towards Jerusalem. The famous chapter 24, but a lot of people don't even read the last few verses of chapter 23. I think they should be included in chapter 24, because I think it really helps us to explain what the Olivet Discourse is talking about. Starting in verse 35, then upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel until the blood of Zacharias, son of Briacus, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. There's a famous verse right here. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou hast killed the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wing, and you would not. This is Jesus proclaiming the fact that they basically refused him. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. So basically that Jesus has now washed his hands, for now, of the Jewish nation, until this next verse, until they do this. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so until a nation, not just people, there are Christians that are they're in the Jewish land, but the nation itself, when it cries out for the Lord, is when Jesus will return. And that's the second coming. That's not the rapture. Remember, keep in mind that people like to try to confuse you on that. The second coming is the second coming. Jesus actually comes to earth, comes back to the earth and stands on the Mount of Olives. The rapture, we meet him in the air. He doesn't come back to earth. He comes to get us and takes us to heaven. So it's us leaving. It's not him coming. That's how I like to put it. Okay, back to Luke 11:52. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entered in you hindered. Basically what they're saying here is that the law is written in the Bible, but they're there. Because they've taken away the key of knowledge, which is the Bible, ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entered in you hindered. And that's basically saying that that Jesus and his followers, as they came in, were hindered by the fact that you weren't understanding of the times. I found a great verse in Malachi 2, 7 through 10. It helps explain this really well. Playing my voice. Almost done. For the priest's lips shall keep knowledge, and they shall seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people. Accordingly, as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? I think that's a great passage to explain exactly what's going on. That they became so power hungry that they enjoyed, it's going to say a little bit here when we finish up, about they enjoyed the power and they enjoyed the prestige of being in their position. They didn't want to give that up. So they didn't really want to think that somebody greater than them was there, and that was the Messiah. Okay, back to Luke 11:53. By the way, that Malachi passage is more of a prophecy, but you can see how true it is. And when Jesus was in, had come. Okay, Luke 11:53. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something of his mouth that might accuse him of. So here we are again. They're trying to figure out how they're going to get rid of this person that calls himself Jesus, because he's upsetting the boat. He's causing them to lose their prestige. Over in Mark 12:13-17, I'm going to end here. Some great passage on to understand this also. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but in teaching, teachest the way of God in truth. So I'm going to try to test them here. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, this is Jesus, why tempt me, ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it, and he said unto them, who is the image in the subscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Gotta love Jesus' answer. And Jesus answered them, said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. In other words, they couldn't catch him because they were hoping that they were going to say that you're supposed to defy the local leadership, which actually is some verses against doing that. We are supposed to pay our taxes, and no matter whether we agree or disagree with the government, and trust me, they had plenty to disagree with in Jesus' time with the government. But Jesus says that, basically in this passage, that it's lawful and of good order to make sure that we're paying our taxes too. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But anyways, we'll end with that today. That finishes chapter 11, and we will continue and check out chapter 12 tomorrow. So let's end with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Oh, Lord, we We just learned so much from your word, and we just love teaching, learning about it, and continue to help us understand it. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, you guys have a great day, and we'll talk again tomorrow.